expect God to move in your life, he will. If you don't, he won't. That's right. See, the Bible's full of examples of how to live a life of faith that pleases God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, we're not going to turn there, but he says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is so important. And you know, we've used that scripture before, and I don't think I have it in my notes tonight. But the thing is, if you don't believe, and we'll talk more about this even on Sunday, but I really believe Holy Spirit really wants us to understand this as a congregation. If I don't believe that God has my best interests in mind, I will not be able to see him work in my life the way that he wants to. Because our really faith is really just believing that God wants to reward us with good things. Right? That's as simple as I can put it. And what happens is challenges come. How many know life has challenges? John, does life ever have challenges? Come on. You know, it does. And those challenges come and they say, God is not real. God is dead. To which I say, my God's not dead. He's surely alive. Living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Come on, somebody. But the thing is, the circumstances of this life will come against us and tell us that God is not real. But do you realize that men and women of faith all through the Bible had challenges, had opposition? I mean, no, Jesus had some opposition. Hello, somebody. But faith is resisting the opposition and believing God no matter what. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. And we're just having a great time in this series here, titled Heroes, going through the Old Testament. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about Noah. We started last week, and really, it was kind of an introduction. I didn't talk a whole lot about Noah, but we talked a lot about faith. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit more about Noah and a whole lot more about faith. Because as I start to look at the life of Noah, I mean, most of us in this room probably know the story of Noah and the flood. It really happened, by the way. Let me just say that. It did happen. All right, we believe that in this church. But all of us know that story probably. And we know for 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And you know, and then God delivered Noah and his family and a bunch of animals. A lot of hay. And with animals and hay comes what? Okay. All right. The Bible says where no oxen are, the stall is clean. But by the strength of an ox comes much increase. So Noah is on a floating zoo. All right. But the thing about Noah, when you start to really think, here's what we do. Sometimes we read stories in the Bible, and we think those people are not like you and me. Well, they're not if we're not living by faith. But listen carefully. They're just like you and me, just like us. They're men and women just like us. No different. The difference is they believe God even when all the odds said, you are crazy. And if you don't think that Noah had all the odds telling him he was crazy, you're crazy. We said last week, you got to look at Noah. It had never rained before. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time, but I want to make sure we understand. It had never rained. Not let alone 40 days and 40 nights and flood the earth. It had never rained. The Bible tells us clearly in the book of Genesis that the way that vegetation got watered was a mist and underground springs that watered. All right? So when he said it was going to rain, it's like, what the, you know. And so it comes down and it rains. But the thing is, and we don't have to put this on the slide, it says this in James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works, can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So you got to have works. And God told Noah to build an ark. Now Noah could have said, okay, God. And then every day gone out to his mailbox and looked for a delivery slip from Home Depot. Now, maybe he didn't go to Home Depot and buy it because I don't have enough money for that. Oh, my goodness. Nobody got that. Okay. I couldn't possibly tithe. I don't have enough money for that. Sure, we could. You know, that's just one area. But he goes, and so he builds an ark, all right? He puts this thing together and believes God. But listen to what it says, Hebrews 12:1. I want to read the scripture, and we'll talk a little more about Noah. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us, or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, really talks about faith and really enduring through things. How many know Noah? First, he had to build this thing. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about him floating around on this worldwide ocean that he was on, all right? Because that's crazy. Can you imagine? But faith strips off every weight. Faith says, you know, I'm going to say no to everything and yes to God. Noah had to say no to everything and yes to God because nothing God asked him to do made sense. Take a bunch of animals and put them on 2x2. Some you could take threes. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But God had it all figured out and said, this is what you must do to preserve all of life. All right? If you believe that something's going to be good for you, you'll do it. If you don't believe it's going to be good for you, you will not do it. The key really is what we believe. Now, last week we looked at Noah. Remember it said that God was looking for someone to show favor to because God looked and all the men living on earth were wicked. That's what it says. Since the fall of man, mankind just got worse and worse and worse. But God found Noah, and the Bible says that Noah found grace, say grace, in God's eyes, all right? I want to talk a little bit about grace so we can understand that faith can only work through grace. You cannot strengthen yourself up. I'm going to believe. That doesn't work that way. The faith of God strips off everything that is not lining up with the Word of God and then just believes God. You don't work to believe. I'm going to believe. You cannot do that. It's no different than saying, I'm not going to sin. You will sin. What we need to do is just lay aside everything and run with reckless abandon, if you will, after God. And when you live that way, faith starts to rise up on the... That, how many? You know, we just did a 21-day fast. I'll keep reflecting on that. I just got a text from somebody today that said, hey, we decided to fast once a week, too. Listen, if we start doing this as a church, look out. I mean, it's true. But we just did, and you learn by fasting, I am laying aside all the things that I like, the things that I need, and I'm pursuing God anyway. And what starts to happen when you live that way is faith starts to rise up, doesn't it? You don't have to work at faith anymore. Because if you can't go have your favorite hamburger, what do you got left? Okay, you know, come on. Really, you're taking it away. So Jesus is there, and Jesus meets every need. And when Jesus is meeting every need, the byproduct is faith. That's something you work up. It's something that happens by grace. Ephesians 2:8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Right? If your faith is not yours, it is a gift from God. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in one place that it is the faith. In the book of Judah, it says the faith delivered once for all. It talks about it as the faith, not my faith or your faith, but the faith, because it's the faith delivered through Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You can only live by faith in him. Say in him. It's not powered by me. It's powered by faith in him through grace. It's works that he has prepared for me beforehand. All right? God already designed my life, designed your life, Debbie. Now, sometimes we don't go the way God tells us to. We all mess up, right? But the thing is, you can get back online. But God has a life designed specifically for you and for me in this time right now. And that's why we need to fast, pray, find out God's will for our life, and then fulfill it. All right? Because it's the faith that he delivered once for all of us, were his workmanship, his piece of art, if you will. God has prepared works that we should walk in beforehand. The way I put it, and we'll talk again a little more on Sunday about this in our Supernatural series, we are ambassadors of the future. Now, you maybe never, that's, when I read this, think about it. We are ambassadors of the life of God, the supernatural life of God, really living by faith, that the things in the kingdom of heaven that are now here available to us, we are living, believing God that the kingdom is going to come in its fullness at another time. Now, the fullness is here delivered by God's Spirit, but how many know you got to tell your flesh that over and over again? So what we're doing, it's almost like we are demonstrating the future glory that is going to be here without even thinking about it. That may not make sense to some of us, but really it's almost like, I'm thinking about the same thing, we're almost like time travelers. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? We are taking people to a place that they think is only in heaven. And we're saying, no, that can be here right now. How many ever saw the movie Back to the Future? Remember Marty McFly? All right. Now, I don't know those movies. Maybe you shouldn't watch them. I haven't watched it in so long. But I remember the movie. You know, maybe blurt out all the some of the language. I don't know what it's like. It's probably not as bad as some of the stuff out there. But I remember I liked that movie, especially the first one I'm thinking of. Remember, he goes back in time and tries to get his mother and father to hook up. I remember that movie. It's like, I better make sure mom and dad hook up so that I can be born. Hello? All right? And so he goes to this high school dance, maybe you remember, and he takes out this guitar and he says, I'm going to teach you something that hasn't come around yet, but it's going to be called rock and roll. And he starts to play this song that Chuck Berry's going to come out with. But nobody's heard it before. And he starts playing, and everybody at the dance is like, how many remember that scene? All right? But he's been to the future. He knows the music that is going to be popular. And here's what it's like. We come and say, the Bible says that all who believe in my name will lay hands on the sick and they recover. They will speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. Come on. And people go, what? It's kind of like that scene. He's playing the guitar and they're all like, what? But you know, by the end of the scene, you start praying for people. You start living like a Christian. You start denying yourself. And before you know it, by the end of the dance, they're all starting to dance. Hello, somebody. You see what I'm saying? So we're like messengers of the future, if you will, of what God expects this whole world to look like. Now, it's not there yet, but the Bible says, as the waters cover the sea, so the earth will be filled with the glory of God. Now, that's something that is happening, but is going to happen. All right? Are you with me? So we're really proclaiming the future, believing. Matter of fact, just the other day, I was in Sam's just the other day. I was talking to a woman over, matter of fact, let me read one scripture for you before I get into that story. Just so you know where I'm coming from with this proclaiming and demonstrating the future glory of God that is going to be everybody's. And he wants it to spread like wildfire through your life. Look what it says in Hebrews 6:5. He says, to all of us who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. How many ever read that? We are tasting right now, available to us by faith, through faith, by grace, the powers of the age to come. And we don't have time to teach on this whole thing, and I am not the strongest prophetic end times teacher, but if you read through Book of Daniel, some other prophecies, and certainly in the book of Revelation, and I don't have a complete understanding of it, but you see that Jesus is going to live here, rule and reign, for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, it will be Jesus and the saints of God in renewed bodies, kind of like a Superman. I'm not saying we're going to fly and wear capes, and I'm not trying to get weird with this, but you got to understand something. We are here because we are supposed to taste of what the future glory is going to be like and then be ambassadors or messengers of what God wants this world to look like. And when you start to live that way, your world will start to look that way. I was in Sam's the other day, and I'm in checkout, and I like to go through the self-checkout just because it's fun. And I love it because you get over there, and the clerks at Sam's, they're also helpful. They come over and say, sir, do you need help? Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I got this all figured out. See, and that's why I like to do it, because I can pretend like I know what I'm doing, all right? And so I go in, I'm scanning all my stuff, and this clerk comes over, and I've talked to her before there, and we just start chatting, and I had prayed with her before for her and her husband, and invited her to church. She hadn't come yet, but just talking, and she starts telling me about her hip. And you know, I'm just, uh-oh, God moment coming up right here. And listen, if you're not thinking that way, you're not thinking right. Because here's what will happen. You start talking to somebody like that. I know I'm not talking about Noah. I can't help it. We'll get there. But see, you can't live like this unless you live like Noah. All right? Because God told him to build an ark, and that didn't make sense to him. God tells us to lay hand on the sick, and that doesn't make sense to us. Are you with me? Okay? So when I read about Noah, this is just kind of where my mind goes, and I believe it's Holy Spirit. All right? And so I'm talking, and she's talking about her hip, and I'm thinking, okay, what do you want to do with this, Lord? Because here's what will happen. Your flesh and the devil will get involved and say, don't pray. What if you pray and she doesn't get healed? Come on, anybody ever hear that? If you never heard that, it's because you haven't prayed for somebody, okay? You talk to anybody that prays for people and lives this way, and every person that does this will say, there's times where it's like, this is not going to work. Do it anyway. That's faith, right? Okay? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I let her finish, and I said, boy, she's telling me about a surgery she's going to have, and I'm like, oh, hip surgery. Yeah, I didn't believe it. I said, and I'm ready to go, and I said, could I pray for you? She said, sure. It's amazing. Most people will say sure. If you ask to pray for them, if you've never tried it, try it. You'll like it. All right? Once in a while, someone will say, nah, but they won't be rude about it. They won't. Who doesn't want to feel better? Come on, somebody, help me out. And so I said, let me pray for you. And we start to pray, and I say, oh, Jesus, thank you for healing her. I'm not going to mention her name here, but thank you for healing her hip. Father, I just thank you that you're... And I finish praying. I just close my eyes because it's just easier for me. You don't have to close your eyes. Sometimes I leave them open, but I close them a lot, and I pray. I open up my eyes, and I look, and she's like... She says, I feel all warm. I said, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you right now. And all of a sudden, it's like Sam's and us. Okay, you got this little us thing going with the kingdom of God. Everything else is going on in Sam's, but then there's the kingdom of heaven right here. She says, well, it's either the presence of God, she says, or it's a hot flash. I said, well, I said, I think it's the presence of God. And I went over, and I'm taking my time. I said, well, thank you, see ya. God bless you. I said, next time I expect a praise report. I said, you know where our church is. You can call me up. You can come by and tell me. Oh, I'm going to have to pray for me. I almost fell. You come by and tell me, and we'll get it here one of these days. So I go over, and I will pick up my boxes and start putting my stuff in it that I just purchased. And I'm just taking my time, putting the boxes away. And I hear her say, he just prayed for my hip. And she's telling everybody, listen, now I believe she's going to get healed. Even if she doesn't get healed the way I think she should or as quick as she should, how many know somebody heard about Jesus that day? A lot of people, because here's the thing. I've walked into Sam's before. I just got to tell you this. I walked into Sam's before, and there's people I didn't even know knew who I was. I'm checking out, and they say things like, oh, yeah, you got that new building over there. I'm like, how do you even know I'm a pastor? Because they're like, every place you worked, when someone leaves that gets people's attention, they start talking about it. Start getting people's attention, people. All right? Even if they all don't flock to church, it don't matter. They know where you are. They know where you live. All right? You just tell them, where that church over there? Go to that church over there. All right? So Noah finds grace in God's eyes. And how many know that it's grace that brings faith that works to live this way? Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, but as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Listen, Jesus is returning. We are in the last of the last days, and it's time for the church to get busy, to start living supernatural lives, believe in God, stop living convenient, comfortable lives that are dictated by our lusts and our needs and our wants, and living for the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus said in verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect it. Am I living an alert life? Is my lamp burning? The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20-21, we're not going to turn there, but it says that we are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20-21. Citizens of heaven. Do you know that we're only here on loan? We're just here on loan. We are not of this world. So why do we live like we are? We should be living differently. Noah lived differently. You and I should live differently. But the problem is we are so settled in to this world that most of the church doesn't look any different than the rest of the world. We don't live any different. We would never think of praying for someone in Sam's. We would never think of tipping somebody extra at the restaurant. We would never think of buying somebody's groceries. We would never think of helping out at a mobile food pantry, except in this church. We did yesterday. Thank you for helping. How many were out at mobile food pantry yesterday? There's a bunch of you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Nan, you were here too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you never help with a food pantry, sign up next month. Come on out and help us. But here's the problem. Here's why the church doesn't live like Noah did. Look at this scripture, 1 John 2:15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world, and the world is passing away. Listen, we have got to think this way. The things that we think are important are the things that are passing away, and they don't matter. They do not matter. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We should be concerned with the will of God, not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What does that mean? Well, the things that feel good, the things that look good, and the things that make me feel like I'm important. All right? It's just life. We should just be saying, you know what? I am living to please Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you can't look good. Comb your hair or shave it, one or the other. But the thing is, am I consumed with those things? Is it taking my life? I'm going to tell you something. When Noah was floating around on a worldwide flood, He was not worried about his 401k. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying don't prepare for the future, but if that's all your life is about, you are missing something. You are missing what you were put here for. And we can't live supernatural lives when that's all. Matter of fact, I wrote this down so I'd remember it. Living your life for every desire, every personal goal or agenda apart from God's will for your life is giving the devil opportunity to distract and lead you on a course that will be less than God's best for your life. I want to read that again because it's pretty profound. I'm pretty proud of that. All right. So that's just the pride of life. No, Holy Spirit gave me this. I give him all the credit. I can't think this good. Not on my own. Living your life for every desire, every personal goal or agenda apart from God's will for your life is giving the devil opportunity to distract and lead you on a course that will be less than God's best for your life. And we'll lose focus. And most people, that's where they live. They are so consumed with everything else, the devil just has to, just a little worm on a hook. Come on, somebody. And pretty soon you're over here. Well, but so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and don't you know they're doing this over here, and I don't have enough of this, and I don't have... Listen, just sit back and pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. See, we are for... Matter of fact, I do want to read this scripture. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Because we're foreigners here, people. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 11, 13. All these people died still believing that God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Here's how people of faith live. Foreigners. Foreigners. I'm here visiting. I just got my temporary work visa. All right? Don't become a citizen. You're just here to work. It's the truth. Obviously, it says people who say such things are looking forward to, come on, somebody, to a country that they can call their own. This place is not my home. Now, it doesn't mean we say, well, you know, someday we're just holding the fort down until Jesus comes. Someday in the sweet old by and by, all my troubles will be taken care of. That's not what I'm saying, even though that's true. You don't live that. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying don't get attacked. Matter of fact, in the book of Timothy, it says it this way. He says that a soldier of Jesus Christ does not get tied down or weighted down with the affairs of this life. You see this concept all through the Bible. Stop getting ourselves weighted down with the things and the worries of this world. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things will be added to you. See, what you're seeking is what's important to you. And if you're not seeking Jesus, everything else will be important. But if you're seeking Jesus, everything else will not be important. Isn't that profound? But most of us live our lives seeking everything else. It says, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I mean, I'll tell you what. God loves it when people live this way. Say, I am a foreigner. All right. So we need to be living our lives. Now, Noah understood this. This is how Noah lived his life, and that's why we look at Noah. It says this in Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did, according to all, say all, that God commanded him, so he did. Listen, obedience to the will of God is the key to living in blessing. You'll still have challenges. You'll still have opportunities for improvement, but you'll have joy to get through those things if you'll focus on the kingdom and being obedient to the will of God. What does that mean? When you see something in the Word of God, do it. You know, we got to do a series pretty soon. I'd probably say this, but I got to have Jay help me with it or maybe just do the whole thing. Just teaching on the body. We'll probably take a weekend service for a couple of weeks or something, probably in the spring. Because look, we got something coming. We are planning right now an outreach with the Conquerors Strength Team. How many know Mike Benson? He's been in church. He's going to be here in March, by the way, just in a few weeks, March 10th, I think, but that's coming up. We're also going to do an outreach in May. We're contacting some of the schools around here now because we want to get into the schools. But even if that door closes, we've got some other things planned. We're going to have a big old thing out here on our property. Come on, somebody. And we'll just right out here, we'll put a little stage up, and they're going to do feats of strength, and we're just going to rock this place. We need your help with that. We need your help with children's church. We need your help with youth ministry. We need your help with all these things. But see, the body has a function, and everyone else has a function in that body. All right? And so it's important that we get involved. The Bible says, give and a tithe. We give and we tithe. The Bible says to pray, we pray. The Bible says to fast, we fast. Are you with me? All right? So when you see things in God's word, pray for the sick and they'll recover. You tell the person at Sam's that I won't pray for you and you're going to recover. And if you go back next week, you say, how you doing? They say, well, still bothering me. Let's pray some more. Look, you don't just give up. All right? You will see a harvest if you live that way. I guarantee you. Genesis 7:1, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Do you know that when you live righteous before the generation you live in, that God will deliver you out of harm's way? Do you really? You've got to believe. I don't care how bad it gets. And we're going to talk how bad it got for Noah and kind of bring it to our human level. Because we just don't think. We think, oh, yeah, you know, Noah and God, they were just, you know, they had this thing going on like I can't possibly have. Listen, when you think that way, you're in trouble. He had to think just like you and me. He had trials just like you. Matter of fact, he had a big trial. I'm going to break it down here in a minute. But he says here, come into the ark, because you and your household, I've seen that you're living righteous before me. If you live the way that we're talking about, if you're praying for people, involved in the body of Christ, giving, living a Christian life, watching what you say, following Jesus, fasting, praying, all the things that we talk about, God is going to deliver you from whatever happens. You may have a trial, but in that trial, God wants to help you get through it so that you can help somebody else. And you got to view it that way. And we've talked about trials before. But you've got to believe that God has your best interest in mind. That's one of the core principles, by the way, or values, that we'll be talking about this Sunday, if I get that far Sunday. We'll see. In supernatural living, you've got to believe that God has your best interest in mind and that he'll deliver you from harm. The Bible says we are not appointed to wrath, but unto salvation. We're not appointed to God's wrath. No matter how bad it gets, you will never, ever, as a Christian in Jesus Christ, never have to endure the wrath of God. See, righteous living brings a blessing or deliverance. Righteous living among my generation, me and my household. Let me just say this. I'm so thankful we started our youth back up tonight. And I thank God for Pastor Bob helping with that and others that are helping him with it. And we want to have something for our youth, and we want to disciple our youth. But let me just say this. Youth ministry, children's ministry, we're always working on that and refining that. And Jessica, thank you so much. And so many of you others. I'm going to forget somebody. So if you help in children's church, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know who's back there tonight, but when you pick up your kids, would you thank them and just say, thank you? Because we're working on that, having meetings, trying to make it best as we can. But do you understand something? I don't care how good the youth group is. I don't care how good children's ministry is. Your kids will follow what they see at home. Say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I know because I've met a lot of people over the years in church who say, well, you know, if we just had this kind of youth group or that kind of youth group like I had when I was in church, and I look at their life and I think, I hope we don't have a life group or a youth group like that because I see the fruit. I'm just saying, okay? I'm not trying to be mean about this. This is just, okay? I'm just being honest. What people that think it's the church's job to raise their kids. It's our job to help you, all right? How many know if the only meal they ever get is a hot lunch once a day? I mean, they'll survive, but they won't be getting fed as good as they can, and that's every day. If your kids got hot lunch once a week, come on, somebody. I'm just breaking it down to natural terms. But it's how we live at home, and then we help supplement that and give things to help you with it. We send home verses for your kids to study. When you get home from children's church, say, hey, what did they talk about tonight? We got handouts. We got things. Go over it with them. Help. We're just helping you to help your family. Let's read about Noah a little bit more. Genesis 7:10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on the day. You know, when you read things like this, sometimes you think, why does it have to be so specific? Because God knows where you are. All the time. He hasn't forgot about you. Whew. He is specific. It says, on the 17th day of the month, on the day that all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. Now, I read that and I think, you know what? When you and I live under an open heaven, the presence of God is there. There could be tragedy and flood all around, but we will be safe in the will of God. And that's what Noah experienced with his family. All hell's breaking loose. The whole earth is being flooded. But they're just sitting in that boat. All comfy. Well, I don't know. It's about as comfy as you can be in an ark, I guess. I don't know. He probably had his lazy boy there with him and his remote control and sound surround. ESPN 1, 2, NFL Network. Just floating. Probably out on the deck getting some sun, getting some rays. All right. Him and the baboon. But when you live this way, you are living under an open heaven. There's safety in the will of God. Listen to what it says in chapter 8:1. It says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. Let me say again, God has not forgotten you. Whatever you're going through right now, God has not forgotten you. You say, I'm facing something that feels worse than the flood. Let me say it again. God has not forgotten you. Maybe you forgot God and you don't think he remembered you, but let me say again, God has not forgotten you. All right? If he didn't forget Noah, he is not going to forget you. And that is the truth. All right? He remembered Noah, and God made a wind pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Psalm 30, verse 5, I love that scripture. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, say after, you have suffered, say suffered. We'll think about that. Okay. After you suffered, say a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you what? You guys are paying good attention. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So what does sober mean? Sober means discreet, to have discretion. Am I living my life with holy discretion? I'm not saying are you living perfect without sin. Are you living a life with God discretion? Okay, God, what is your will? Am I following your... The other day, I just... somebody in Bible school. I was just looking at some of their homework. One of our students in Bible school. And they were talking about the will of God, the call of God on your life. And they said they were very aware of it. And I wrote underneath it, I said, is it written down? All right. Write it down. Journal. Write things down. Have goals. God goals. Not your own goals. God goals. What does God want your life to look like? And say, well, I just don't know, Pastor. Then you haven't spent enough time in his presence. I don't know what else to tell you. All right? But it says, even after we suffer, because we're going to face things, the same things the rest of the world faces. Hello. He says we should be discreet, sober. Vigilant means to be awake. We should be discreet and awake, not asleep and drunk. It says resist him. Really, I believe it's living out of a kingdom mentality, living out of kingdom resources. It's like I said, bringing the future to the present and to all the other people I come in contact with. I'm going to play that rock and roll. Or play that funky music, white boy. That just popped in my head. I don't know why. But I'm bringing the future to the present. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders have obtained a good report. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And start to live by faith, even when I don't see it, bringing my future into the present. Come on, somebody. Suffering, disappointment are part of life. Don't allow suffering and disappointment to be a spiritual gauge in your life. It has nothing to do with spirituality. You are going to face it. Jesus said it this way. He said there's two men. One built his house on sand. One built his house on rock. Storms came against both. One remained standing, one didn't. All right? Does that make sense? So you don't allow suffering and disappointment to be your spiritual gauge. Because no matter what you're going through, suffering, disappointment, trials, it says, but God gives grace. But God perfects us. But God establishes us. But God strengthens us. God settles us. And so if you're facing a trial, you say, but God is strengthening me. God is establishing me. God is settling me so that I can become complete, lacking nothing. And that's what we should say even though our flesh is crying out, you might even have a crabby day. I have crabby days sometimes. There's sometimes I have crabby days, and I just want to, I mean, there'll be times, I'm telling you, sometimes after church on Sunday, I'm just telling, and I'm not the only pastor, by the way. I've talked to lots of pastors. Monday is like the worst day for pastors. It is. Now, it doesn't mean that Sunday was bad. Sunday's good. It's great. But then what you start to do is you allow yourself to get alone with your thoughts. And you start to say, it was good, but. Oh, okay. Look out for but. All right? But will kick your butt. All right? So you could have a crabby day, but say, no, I'm shutting up. I might feel crabby, but that's it. I am not going to stay here. And you know what? You pray through it, and you get better. Let me just say this. If you have not grown spiritually since your last trial, it's not God's fault. It's not everybody else's fault. It's your fault. All right. It's your fault. All right. Yeah. If you haven't grown since your last trial. Because you're going to have suffering. You're going to have disappointment. But I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Ooh, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This would be a great scripture for you to put on your wall. Say, for my light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you got to live that way. Woo! I don't know how I got to that. Let me go back over here a minute. I hit the wrong thing on my Kindle. It went whoop. Okay, now we're back over here. Let's get back to Noah. Because now Noah had a trial. We got enough time. Youth are doing good. We're doing good. We got to get to this. You got to see this. Now we're going to start to break down Noah's trial a little bit. Because sometimes we'll take a story like this, and I'll start to bring it home with our trials, with our disappointments, with our challenges. And we think, yeah, but you know, it wasn't like that for Noah. He had an ark. Well, he built the ark. Remember? It had never rained. You're going to build a boat that's big. They estimate it took about 100 years to build it. True or not, that's when you take a look at what the Bible says he was when he started and when it finished, it's about true. All right? That's a big boat. And then you get all these animals in there. I can just see people saying, Noah, what the are you doing? I think his wife's name was Nolita or something like that, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding. But she said, what are you doing? And he builds this boat, starts putting the animals in two by two, gets all up in there. God says, that's it. Shut the doors. We read this already. Shuts the doors, and after 7 days. See, can you imagine? Let's just break this down. Shuts the doors. I'd be getting up the next day, and I'd be like, it ain't raining yet. Wouldn't that be you and me? Come on, somebody. We're going to bring it home here, all right? Not Noah, though. Noah waited 7 days. Right? And after 7 days, it started to rain. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But you know it wasn't over then? Sometimes we think, oh, yeah, then the waters. No, check this out. The earth was flooded for anywhere between 370 to 375 days. You check it out in your Bibles. A year. More than a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about 5 or 6 months into this gig. Think about it. Think about this, Corey. He's got this boat. He's got them animals. We bought a zoo. No, we bought a boat, baby. And this is it. I can just see you get up every day and you're thinking, all I see is water. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you think you start to think, God, where are you? And you know what? And then we think, well, no, you know, God and him, they just walked around the boat. Okay, if that was true, then Noah wouldn't have had to do what we're going to read in a moment, because he had to send out a bird to try and figure out if the waters had subsided, because he had to live by faith, just like you. Come on, somebody. Could you imagine? Put yourself in Noah's boat. Noah's shoes, Noah's boat. A year! A year! I'd be freaking. I'd be like, you know, God, any time now would be just fine with me. It's like, I worked 100 years building this boat. I got all these animals in here with no cages. I put this, I did all this work. God, I paid my tithe. I witnessed to someone in Sam's. I helped in the church. I don't say too many bad things. I quit smoking. I'll quit chewing someday. Are you with me? How come you don't move in my life? But that's not what Noah did. Noah kept believing God. And because of that, he's in this story. He kept believing God. And listen what happens in chapter 8, verse 10. And he waited yet another 7 days. This 7 days thing is getting pretty old, huh? And again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out another dove, which did not return again to him anymore. See, that olive leaf speaks of peace and rest. Do I live a life of peace and rest, or do I live a life of anxiety and fear? Learning to wait is part of God's rest. Learning to wait is part of God's rest. And listen, it's not important that we just wait. Look at me carefully. It's what we do while we're waiting. You can wait, and you could get up every one of them 375 days and say, God, get me out of here. I mean, no, you are not going to be getting the benefit of the rest and the peace that God has for you. There is always a resting place for us in the will of God. Remember, Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. Where was he in the storm? He was sleeping in the back of the boat. They woke him up, and he said, peace, be still. Now, boys, let me take my nap. He probably didn't say that, but I added that. Because he looked at me and said, where's your faith? You got to wake me up. I was sleeping. Just me and Noah in the boat, sleeping. He gives us peace in the midst of our storm. Listen to what it says, Hebrews 4:1. I'm probably going to have to end here. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. The only way for you and I to enter rest is to believe in the word. It says that the word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. You and I need to take the word that we were given tonight in this service, get home, and start to mix it with faith. How do you mix it with faith? You get close to Jesus, and you meditate on that word. And you start to renew your mind. And you start to fast. And you pray. And you put things, you put Jesus in front of other things in your life. Start to enter his rest. Start to trust God above everything else. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask for will be done for you. The kind of, the harvest that you're getting right now is completely regulated by the seed that you sowed sometime before. All right? Let me finish this story. Three more scriptures and I'll send you home. Hebrews 4:10, he says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any fail, or lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. See, rest comes through faith. Ceasing from my own works, allowing God to settle me, allowing God to complete me, allowing God and his word to work out the fears, doubts, and flaws in my life, changing me from the inside out, surrounding me with his care. Verse 12, it goes on and says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The only way that you and I can change is to meditate on God's word and let it start to work. Not by trying to change on our own. We meditate and say, okay, God, your word says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Today, I am going to my mission field, and then you get out and you do your business, and as you're in a conversation and somebody starts to talk, you start saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what's next? There may be times the Holy Spirit will say, no, don't, just sow a little bit of seed here right now. But that's learning his voice, all right? Learning his voice. That's why we're going to keep talking about this in that series, Supernatural. And then finally, Genesis 12. Let's finish the story of Noah. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. This is Trisha's verse right here. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. We have a covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:24, 25, and 26. It cannot be broken. I read this, and I take a look at this. Think about this. I believe that rainbow is a type of church. All the spectrum of colors. White, black, Hispanic, Asian. What you can go on. It's and you know what? And they say that boy at the end of a rainbow is what? A pot of gold. No, at the end of God's rainbow is Jesus. And if the church would shine like the rainbow and be who God made you to be, at the end of that rainbow, you'd be leading people to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord, that it's been set in good hearts and is bringing forth a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're here tonight and don't know